Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another fantastic week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. And we have a safety episode for you all today with our safety expert, Justin Ford of Breezeway. But before we get into that juicy stuff, we'll give you some time to go get your paper and your pen because we got, you know, with Justin, we always have great actionable things that you can do right away to make your personal home and your short-term rental more safe. But before we get into all that juicy details, we have our STR Share Sunday because without you guys putting out great rental properties, we wouldn't even be here.
True.
So, Nadi, who are we sharing?
Today, we are sharing at Aqualux 850.
Aqualux
850. And it is, they come to us from Miramar Beach, Florida. And this place is luxe.
What?
It really is. Number one, right off the gate, this is something I've really been noticing and I love it. Every single one of their bedrooms is a suite. It has an ensuite bathroom. If for some reason you're out there and you're building a short-term or vacation rental, if you can do ensuite bathrooms, make it happen because they have 5 king beds, 5 ensuite bathrooms. They have some bunk beds and things like that, but I really wanted to let you know, 5 king beds, 5 ensuites. That is,
and
I'll
toot my own horn for just 1 second. I know it's about Aqualux and not me, but we are renovating a home right now that is about 1,500 square feet. And every bedroom has its own ensuite, like full-on 3-piece bath. So it's possible in small spaces too. Okay, what else about them?
This is something I want to bring to everyone's attention. We haven't really talked about this before. There is this very distinct difference between short-term rentals and vacation rentals sometimes with the amenities that they provide, i.e. one roll of toilet paper, one trash bag. And I know that can upset some people.
Should we have another debate? Although you and I are on the same team.
We're on the same team. But I want to say I love that Aqualux specifically mentions this in their Airbnb listing that they only get one roll of toilet paper and they are getting one sample. Like they make it very clear, like you are going to have to provide some of your own amenities.
Yep.
And so I really appreciate that they have listed that out because I know that some people get there and they're not familiar with that and they can be a little mad. So what the way that they call it in their listing, I encourage you to check it out. It says starter pack and it lists bullet point by bullet point, two laundry pods, two dishwasher pods, dish soap, complimentary trial size, one full roll of paper towels, one full roll of tape. So they let you know, and I love them being very clear because they also say, please plan accordingly to bring additional items depending on the length of your stay. So that is, I like that they're listing that. And the other thing that I really, they've done some cool stuff for kids here. I haven't seen that often. They actually have video game consoles that have about 3,500 different video games. Oh, I mean, they have a pretty deluxe, it is Aqualux. They have a deluxe game room.
Very fancy.
So I encourage you to check it out because for the beach, I just got back from the beach and there was a tropical storm. So you need to give your guest something
to
potentially do inside if there is a storm. So Aqualux, they are crushing it. Thank you for using our hashtag and we can't wait to see who we get to highlight next.
Yeah.
But Sarah, let's get on to the episode.
Well, if you've been listening to TFV, aka Thanks for Visiting, for the entire 2 years, truly, that we've been going here, Justin Ford is no stranger to you. If you are new here, welcome. We are so excited to have you. There are many safety episodes and we always rely on Justin to give us the facts. And he is not here to sugarcoat things because when it comes to safety, honestly, you can feel like, oh, it'll never happen to me until it does. And you just don't want to be that person who is made an example of in the news or media or in the courtroom, to be honest with you. So, Justin, welcome back to the
welcome
show.
Welcome back, Jay Ford.
Hey, it's great to be back with you ladies. And yeah, you're right. You know, it's not a matter of if, it's when. Mm-hmm. And I hear it all the time. No one's been hurt in our cottage for three generations. I'm sure we'll be fine. And then then it happens. You gotta pay attention to safety.
Justin, I do want to take two minutes really quick for people that haven't heard your story before. I do want to let listeners know that Justin not only professionally is trained by the Coast Guard, and then also he's a firefighter, but he ran a vacation rental company.
With
over 100 properties, right?
It's like 300.
600.
Oh, okay. We both failed
okay,
you.
This is really fun. But I want everybody to know, Justin started with his one property and he has actually, you know, this isn't I don't like to bring it up, but he had an accident at one of his properties. So I just want everybody to know that when Justin, you know, is on the show, and he's bringing us this knowledge, it comes from so many different parts of, like, woven into who he is as a person. And he has been so kind to learn from that lesson and bring it to us. So if you haven't heard his story before, he went over it in one of our other episodes. But I just want to let everybody know that he comes to us with so much education and then experience in having something unfortunate. Something that could have never been, you know, really imagined at one of his properties.
Yep.
So keep that in mind.
I appreciate. Yeah, it's good to quickly recap. I out there in social media world, sometimes people are like, "Who's this guy? What the heck is he talking about?" my railing isn't up to code. It's like, I know.
No, for sure. And so, I encourage you to go back and listen to his episodes. You can get all of the knowledge. But today, we're going to focus on just one thing. And Justin, what's that one thing today?
We need to talk about decks. We have got to get this what I call an epidemic of deck collapses in the United States right now. We got to get these under control.
Okay. What are you seeing and how can we make improvements as a whole? Because listeners, we said at the beginning of the episode too, this is not just your short-term rental. Maybe you're joining us because you want to have one. What about your own home? So Justin, what's happening? Why are these decks falling apart, falling down? What's going on?
Well, let's paint the picture from kind of the beginning. And that is, you've got a deck at your short-term rental. And most people think, well, there's six people that sleep here. We'll have six people out here. And we've been using this deck and it's fine. And that's good. You know, I just saw a friend of mine on Facebook down in Delaware over the 4th of July. They did a family photo. Mm. I counted 19 people on these deck stairs leading up to the deck. And that home only slept six people, but they invited everybody over because they had five different houses they had rented, and the family was all getting together and gathering at just one of the houses. I don't know how those stairs were holding up, but you've got to imagine in this day and age, more and more and more, short-term rentals aren't just a place people are going to stay. They're a place people are gathering and celebrating, birthdays, anniversaries, just getting back together. Hey, COVID's over. Let's get everybody together. And this is going to be going on for another couple of years because we're way backed up. And these decks are not built to have made. These are residential decks. They're not designed for it. And even, you know, just as a side note, commercial-wise, we're having a terrible problem too. We've seen a lot of deck collapses at some restaurants and things. So if you don't own a short-term rental and you don't even have a deck, I want you to pay attention because things are happening at a commercial level where you would least expect it. And when we get done with this segment, I'm hopeful that all of you can call yourself a deck safety expert. There's a pretty couple easy ways to address it, and we can kind of get this problem addressed and at least start focusing on it.
Okay. And so, and Justin too, do you think a lot of the problem is, well, DIYing the decks construction? Is it, yeah, or are we being failed too by our professionals?
Yeah, we definitely are. I watch new decks get constructed all the time that are not to code. And it's really frustrating to see. They say right now in the United States, more than half of all the decks, more than half, and we're talking millions of decks, are not safe. They're not up to code. And I think a lot of people think, you know, I built my house and my house is going to be around for a lifetime or more. I live up in the Northeast. Some of the houses up here are over 200 years old and it's still standing. And I think that people don't take into account that a deck lifespan is anywhere from 8 to 20 years, depending on what it's exposed to. Mm. You know, if it's up in the dry air of New Mexico or Colorado and doesn't have a lot of snow on it every winter, yeah, you might get 20 years out of your deck. But if you're down on the Hatteras seashore and there's a tropical storm and a hurricane that's hitting it every year, 8 years might be all you can get out of that deck. And so I think there's an awareness that needs to be out there that these aren't permanent structures, even though they're attached to your permanent structure.
Right. Okay. So
I've never thought about the longevity of a deck. 8 years. 8 years doesn't sound very long. No.
Well, all should right. we start there, Justin? How can, if people already have a deck and they're not quite sure how long it's been around, or maybe they are, what are some maintenance, some preventative maintenance tasks that our listeners can do? And look for.
Well, and I love that you said, make sure you get a pen and paper, because I'm going to give a couple basics here that just everybody should know this. This is really easy to know. And this is so that you, again, when you're at a restaurant that has a pressure treated deck and, you know, I'm talking, you know, Popeye's Beer Hut that's on the side of the beach and you're gathering with your friends at the end of the day on vacation, this is something everyone should know. Okay. So there's a few things when it comes to decks and weight. The deck load is basically the load that's created by the deck itself. And that's usually about 10 pounds per square foot, known as PSF. That's a deck should be able to hold itself 10 pounds per square foot. Then the live load is created by all the extra stuff, like the furniture, the planters, the people. And that's usually about 40 pounds per square foot. So together, the design load of a deck is 50 PSF. That's what we should be seeing as a basic construction in the United States. That's basic. That's not necessarily for a short-term rental, but that's, let's say, your deck at your house where you're not really having too many gatherings and you've met basic standards, 50 pounds per square foot. So now, to determine the maximum load capacity of a deck, we calculate its total area and then multiply it by 50 pounds per square foot. So a 10 by 10 deck, which is 100 square feet, should hold 5,000 pounds. Okay, that's just basic math. But now here's what you need to do if you're looking around and you're standing on a deck, or you own a short-term rental, or, you know, you're at a restaurant. We need to know that the average human being is about 178 pounds. I like to work with 200 pounds in the short-term rental industry. Again, we don't know who's coming there. They got some clothing on. You know, they might have some extra items that they've put out on the deck. But so 200, I think, is the best way to go. So you do that, and this is the big one, write this big number down. at a minimum, a short-term rental deck should be able to hold one person for every 4 square feet. One for 4 square feet.
Okay.
And if you just kind of take that idea, that's 2 feet times 2 feet. So when you look out at a deck, if you're looking out across the deck and you see that there's, you know, it's a 10 by 10 deck and there's 50 people on it. Hello, this deck is overloaded. We got to get some people off this deck right away. So just do the math real quick. And you know, your foot, most people, I've got a big foot, but most feet are, you know, 12 inches, let's say. So just do the quick math and look around and say, is this the right place to be right now?
So help me out with that, Justin. I'm just going to admit my, you know, I need help here. So if it's a 10 by 10 and the average person is 200, let's say, then how many people should we feel comfortable with on the deck then?
Well, I have to do the quick math on that myself.
I'm going to help our listeners out so they know, like, okay, you can actually keep.
And while Justin's doing that math, what I can just recap what he just chatted about, which is tip number one is to measure your deck and figure out the safety occupancy for that deck. And you can post that at your short-term rental. You can post it in your welcome book. You can explain to guests, hey, we have a max number of people on the property of this because it's your safety. Our deck cannot withstand people. You know what I mean? Like bring it to their attention. Like we're doing this for you. It's not so that we can like be big bad, you know, hosts and limit your party size. It's for your safety. It's for the property safety. It's all the good things.
So if it's built properly, and I know the average listener out there is better at math is going, 4 and 125.
That's all right.
But anyway,
it's okay. Don't worry about it.
You know, when you're on the spot on a podcast, you've got to,
I couldn't do that.
This one did it to you.
That's fine. Okay.
So 100 square foot deck should hold 25 people. It should be built to hold 25 people.
But that's not including, you know, any of the furniture.
No, it is.
But still 25 people though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And like Justin just said, I think a lot of times whenever we hear about a deck collapse, it's not, oh, there were 3 people out there.
It's usually, right? It's usually overcrowded.
It's both. We've seen them where they're overcrowded. And in the example of the infamous Maui deck collapse that happened this spring, that deck should have held 40 people, but there was only 21, they say, on it. So when you actually look at the deck and do the math, that deck should have been able to hold 40 people and it collapsed with only 21. The news reports show that there was rot in the deck. So
It was over the ocean,
over the salt air. And the interesting thing on that one, just to kind of hone in on a deck collapse now that I've brought up a specific one, and I can bring up specific ones because there's one every day or more in the U.S. That one, you could look at the homeowner said, wait, in 2018, when we bought the property, we did a home inspection and a building inspector looked at it and there was no rot. Well, here it is 3 years later. That's how fast it happens. It doesn't take long and it only takes one or two, you know, beams that are already starting to get a little punky or soft and then you've got a problem.
Gotcha. Okay. So then I guess point number two might be, number one is to understand how many people you can safely fit on your deck per code. And number two would be to inspect your deck every spring, right? When you're looking at your gutters, you're looking at your HVAC, your all that stuff, include your deck as part of that inspection. If you don't know what to look for, you could reach out to a general contractor to come and look at it for you. Is that correct, Justin?
That's right. I believe firmly if you're in a non-ocean environment, you want your deck inspected every 5 years. And I'm talking, you know, up in Montana, Colorado, something like that. But if you're right on the ocean, every 2 to 3 years, you want a general building contractor or a licensed building inspector to come inspect that deck and take a good look at it. I don't care if it was built 2 or 3 years ago. You want that peace of mind to make sure that if you're renting your house out, that that's that way. But here's a couple things that you can do on an annual basis or that you should be doing no matter what anyway from the get-go before you even offer your property for rent. And so those of you who already are and haven't done this, real simple. And I've had you ladies do this.
Yes.
We did this in Ohio. Go under the deck, look up. And if you don't have metal galvanized joist hangers holding the deck support beams in place and with screws tied into that nice plate of wood that's attached to the side of the house, That's when you need to get a contractor over there. You want to see, the only place you want to see nails in the construction of a deck, especially at your short-term rental, is maybe if they're holding the deck boards themselves down. I really don't like that because then they pop up and people cut their feet on them. But that's really the only acceptable place. You want screws and bolts underneath the deck. And if you're not seeing screws and bolts, then you need to get somebody over there to address that.
That's right. And remember, listeners, screws have the almost like the, they're like teeth. And they really grab on to the material, which my husband and I used to do drywall. And it's the same thing, kind of like it's not a big safety concern, but people would use nails. And it's like if they pop out, they're just not great fasteners in terms of connecting construction materials of that nature. So, okay.
And your listeners can look if they're interested. The photos are right there. There was a deck collapse in Sandbridge, Virginia last September. You can just Google deck collapse Sandbridge, Virginia. And you can see in the photos that that entire deck pulled away from the side of the building. Oof. And you can see the nails that were exposed. That's why that deck pulled away.
Yikes.
was nailed. And so it's a great, five people were hospitalized over that. So, you know, that wasn't the positive side of that, but it just is an example of what's out there. And it's an unfortunate example of what you alluded to at the beginning, Sarah, is there's your deck all over the AP wires for everyone to see that you were offering your short-term rental with nails holding it together. And everybody who's an expert in the industry is going, what were those people thinking?
Right.
What about the railing on a deck, Justin?
Yep.
I know we look at that a lot.
That's a really important one. If you've got 4x4 posts, you can't have a span of more than 6 feet. If you get into 6x6 posts, then you can go to 8 feet. And that's code. I don't care if you're in Connecticut or Florida or California, that's international building code. And the railings need to be 36 inches tall. And it's really easy to do a load test on those. You just put your body at a 45-degree angle so that if for some crazy reason the deck railing did give away, you're not going to fall down over it. And you just stretch out your arms and you just lean your entire body weight against the railing. And if it's moving more than an inch, then you need to get a contractor in there to get that addressed straight away.
This is one thing I know, Justin, you and I have actually like been at a property before. Let's talk to, we see this all very often. People have their hot tub out on the deck and it's kind of flush with the railing. Let's advise our listeners on why that is pretty much an awful thing to have. Like it looks, you know, in theory, it looks nice because it's kind of flush, but let's talk about why that's a problem.
So yeah, first, before you even have a hot tub on your deck, and if you bought a house that has a hot tub on the deck already and said, well, that must be fine, it's been there, get that. You need to know that, you know, eight pounds a gallon, how many gallons of water does your hot tub hold, and then the amount of people, and then the weight of the hot tub itself. I mean, these hot tubs, when they're full of water, they weigh more than a full-size Chevy truck on your deck.
Oh, wow.
So you need to make sure that your deck can support the load of that hot tub. And don't assume that somebody else has. You personally need to know for peace of mind and talk to somebody that says, yep, your deck is engineered to support that hot tub weight. Don't assume the last homeowner did it. And so that's the first and foremost what you've got to do with hot tubs. Number two, you got to make sure all the wiring and everything is all situated. I see so many hot tubs where the wiring's jury-rigged under the deck and it's pinching between some wood and now you've got a fire hazard. Believe it or not, the most common source of accident with hot tubs is fire, not drowning or like you'd think, or you know, it collapsing the deck. So checking the wiring on the deck and how that comes out. But then to your point, and that it's really important to make sure that there's protection there. You are required by code, all 50 states, Canada, Guam, Caribbean, wherever you are, you're required to have a 36-inch railing height around any elevated structure that is more than 30 inches above the ground. So if your hot tub's a story up on a deck, it needs to have 36 inches of protection. You lose that when somebody's up on a bench seat and the hot tub is right up against the railing. Now you've got it so that a kid can stand on that seat or an adult who's maybe had a little too much to drink on vacation, and now they've only got 18 inches, 20 inches of railing protection, which is not to code. And so two things address that. You either build the railing up even higher around just the hot tub, or get that hot tub away from the railing so that there's a gap there. So if they do fall out of the hot tub, they're not going down over the railing.
Yeah, for sure. Especially kids. I can see kids climbing and standing on the sides and then trying to climb up the railing.
There's been many, many accidents. This year, I know of 6 so far. So it does have, and I'm talking short-term rentals when I talk about my accidents statistics.
And Justin, so what tell us, and I don't want you to necessarily go like the scariest thing, like the typical, what happens when this happens? What happens to the homeowner? Like what, you know, as long as they've got good insurance, let's hope no one dies because who wants to live with that sort of guilt? But like what happens to the homeowner if someone gets hurt on their property and they weren't following proper code?
So let's first talk about, and my wife's a physician's assistant. So, and actually if your listeners don't know this, my wife reminds me, they no longer call them physician's assistant. They've now changed it to physician associate.
Okay.
So time you go see your PA at the hospital, it's a physician associate.
Okay.
But she actually seen some patients that were injured from a stair collapse. It's not a pretty injury.
No.
This isn't like tripping and falling down the stairs and maybe you break your leg. These are vertical injuries where you're coming down and compressing your body hard. And it's not like it's a gentle thing. Decks don't just go slow and then it's a slide and then you fall. They come down hard and fast, straight, and you suddenly have a lot of pressure pushing up on your leg bones. These are fractures. Most of the injuries that happen from a deck collapse typically are something that's going to bother somebody for the rest of their life. They're severe fractures, breaks, and it's not an injury you want to mess with when it comes to legal claims. These are going to be big ones, really big claims against you, because someone's going to have pain probably the rest of their life. So that's where it starts. And then experts are going to come in. You know, going back to that Malibu deck collapse, within, I think, a day or two, the renters had actually sued the homeowner. And the homeowner, you know, if you followed that, it was all over the nightly news and CNN, Fox News, all that stuff. If you followed that, the homeowner kept saying, but we only allowed 6 people. We only allowed 6 people.
It wasn't that way.
That's fine, but there's going to be a lot of, when that lawsuit gets, and I haven't seen it, I haven't talked to lawyers on it, but when that lawsuit comes in, the renters are going to, right now, from what I see, have a pretty good case here, because maybe only 6 people were allowed on that property, but there's a lot of opening there. Was it 6 overnight? Did they have an event, you know, opportunity to have more than that there? The renters can say, yeah, we only had 6 people here for the night, but these people were over for a birthday party. Right. And this deck should have held 40 people, because we already did the math on that, but it collapsed with 20. And so that's where I think the renters have a strong case on that one.
Right.
And once that goes in, I mean, the insurance companies are going to be doing all kinds of negotiating back and forth. The homeowner's going to put a lot of money out of pocket up to their minimums. I've seen in some of these cases where, yeah, maybe the insurance steps in and covers some of it, but the homeowner's still putting $200,000 or $300,000 out. You go to the largest settlement ever in short-term rental history in Alabama 2 years ago. And in that case, the homeowner had to pay almost all of it out. It was an $11.1 million settlement from someone diving off of a dock that didn't have proper warning signs that it was shallow in place. So this could not only end the homeowner's participation in the short-term rental industry, but it definitely might put them in a little bit smaller home to live in as well.
Mm-hmm. 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 What about, Justin, about rotting wood at all? Is that something that's common, or is it most likely going to be the screws of the joints?
Yeah, dry rot, rotting wood is definitely can be a problem. Wherever water gets trapped, it sits. When I look a lot, and I want to talk to the most common short-term rental owner in the country, and that's someone who owns a property from Maine all the way down through to Texas. And we've all seen them. There's I don't know the numbers, but I'm willing to bet more than half of the short-term rentals in the United States are along the coast right there. And so many times I see that the deck support beams are not being held up by galvanized joist hangers. They're just being held up by a wooden ledger board. And that wooden ledger board might have some flashing on it, but if it's letting water get in there and sit, it's going to rot. And that's where your deck's going to let go from the side of the house. So rot, especially in the salt air, is a very common problem. And that's what happened in Malibu. We saw the rotten wood underneath the deck.
Are there any, Justin, I know you're pretty big, which is a good thing, you know, having some sort of warning sign or rules posted around your pools and your hot tubs and things like that. But what about your deck? Like, do we need to say something like this deck can hold this much? Like, is that going to help us? What are your thoughts there in terms of communication with the guests?
I think, you know, you've got to do the math and know what it's supposed to hold. And you should have talked to a contractor or an engineer that's going to agree with that and say, this is what it's supposed to hold, or this is what you should do. You should understand the demographics of your renters. I don't think it's inappropriate, especially if you're in an area that could be prone to people renting the house for a party, even if you say no. I don't allow parties at my house. There's no way this will happen to me. Guess again, you just never know what these renters are going to do. And that's what we're seeing. You know, there was a serious deck collapse in Nebraska 2 days ago. And, you know, at this recording time, over 4th of July. 4th of July was horrible in the U.S. for deck collapses. But the one in Nebraska, it was a pool party. People just didn't expect that was going to happen at their house. So you just have to take a look and understand that at some point in time, there may be 17 people on my deck, and I've never had six before. And do I want to have a notice? Do I want to say, hey, this deck is rated? And you see that commercially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys have both been on decks or at a restaurant where it says capacity is 60 people. Mm-hmm. Don't think it's offensive. I don't think it's unreasonable. It certainly makes me look around a room when I see a sign that says, hey, there's only supposed to be 100 people in here. And you kind of look around and go, looks like there's more than 100 people here. Maybe it's time for me to step away.
Right.
Or talk to the manager and say, hey, what's going on here? Looks like we're over capacity and I'm not feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that you've given us all something today to, like, at least go out, take a peek. Like, if you haven't, you know, taken a look at your deck, I know a lot of times as hosts, we get really absorbed with the interior. Mm-hmm. And it's what we focus on is making sure the, you know, the shower's clean, the beds are made, and the pillows are fluffed. But let's spend some time outside and, you know, take a look at the deck, the construction of the deck, and pay attention to your furniture on the deck too. You know, if it's sitting out there in the wind and the rain, and pay attention to what is actually, you know, sitting on the deck, from the hot tub to your table, to your chairs, to your umbrellas. We're in the height of summer, and it's time for everyone to pay some attention and take a look out at those exterior places on their property.
Before we let you go, Justin, anything else you should bring to our attention about deck safety?
You know, while we're on the topic of depths, obviously there's the construction, but we are talking about the use of it. Mm-hmm. Typically, people like to put a barbecue grill out on the deck. Mm-hmm. That's not legal in the state of Massachusetts, and they don't have grill fires on decks anymore. There's actually a fine. I believe it's $50 if the code officer drives by and you're in Cape Cod or Boston or Worcester and they see a grill on your deck. So some states are starting to take action about it, but if you're going to have your grill out on your deck, you want to make sure that it's positioned in a way that it's at least 3 feet. Code is 10. And I know that's really hard for a lot of people, but at least 3 feet away from the structure. I don't like them up on a deck. They're not a safe place to use them, but they're often convenient. But at least, you know, there's ways to secure your grill so that it's not going to be out there. If it's a charcoal grill, I say no way. I can share thousands, and I mean thousands, and I exaggerate. So I'm saying thousands, there must be at least hundreds of pictures of charcoal grills that have started fires. And we actually just saw a fire at a short-term rental this past year in Texas, where people brought one of those solo stoves, which are the wood-burning fire pits. They put it up on the deck. And of course, that type of fire pit's great. I have one, and they don't get hot underneath. So everyone thinks, well, that's great. I can put it on a deck. And wrong answer. That deck caught on fire. because the embers coming out of the fire pit actually caught the deck on fire. So I really push people to get those off the deck. Anything that burns, fire, charcoal, any of that stuff off the deck, at least away. The other thing to consider are these gas-fired fire pits that a lot of people are putting up on the deck. There's been a lot of accidents with those as well. It's really important to make sure that you've got good safety instructions in place on the operation of those. Annette, I was at a short-term rental in Colorado recently, and there's this gas-fired fire pit up on the deck, no instructions. It wasn't even operating properly, and you're just supposed to figure it out. It scares the living daylights out of me. Think about all the amenities you're offering on your deck as well.
Okay, good point.
Anything else, Justin? We've got our listeners with the pens and paper out. I mean, you've given us plenty, but I want to make sure we're being comprehensive.
The one thing that I did talk about the deck railings when Annette asked about them. Mm-hmm. The one thing I left out is you got to remember the 4-inch gap. You can't have a gap greater than 4 inches. And that's to keep a child from being able to get through. Mm. And that's, again, anytime you're more than 30 inches above an adjacent surface. So stairs, an elevated walkway, a deck, anything where the surface beside it, whether it's the ground, a patio, whatever it is 30 inches below there, you need to have railing and guardrail protection that ensures that nobody can get through a 4-inch gap. And so many of these deck stairs, and I'll touch on that one again in a second too, so many of these deck stairs I know don't have a riser behind it, so they're open and a kid can climb up the stairs and just fall right out through the back of the stairs. You've got to have that type of protection. And to come back around to what I said in the beginning, I saw my friend on Facebook with like 30 people on deck stairs. That's the number one place I'm seeing right now, and I'm sure you ladies have seen it, where the whole family gathers because the stairs are a great place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've had several of the deck collapses that we've had in the country in the past year at STRs have been from the stairs giving way. And so you don't want to forget about the stairs. And it's not 3 or 4 people going up and down. It might be 25 people sitting on those stairs to have a picture. And unfortunately, you're not able to use the excuse that that's not what my stairs were meant for and it collapsed. That's not what the insurance companies and the lawyers are going to agree with you.
Right. Oof. All right. It's a big responsibility being a host, being a property owner and sharing it with the world. It's fun. It's awesome. It's rewarding, but you just got to do your part and make sure everything's safe.
It's really easy to just do these few things. Quick summary. Mm-hmm. If you've never had it done before, get a contractor, a licensed contractor, or an engineer over to look at your deck.
Right.
If you've never had it done, do it. Be there. Talk with them. Get an understanding. Ask them, how much longer is this deck going to be good for? What do you think? When should we do an inspection again? How old is it? You need to know your deck. You need to. And then number two, check it annually yourself. Look, make sure that there's no screws underneath it. Do the railing test. And then also know what can my deck accommodate if it's built to code. If my contractor says, this is a good deck, I agree with you. It should hold 100 pounds per square foot. I endorse that. Then how many people can it hold? And know that. And then also make sure if you have a hot tub on the deck, if you've never had it checked before, have it checked. Make sure it's strong enough to support that and that there's good protection for the renters there. And if you can do all those things and make that a priority, then you're going to stay out of the headlines.
And Justin, I love systems and I love all these tips and you've got pen and paper out and that's great and all, but how can you plug that into a system that will help you keep your property safe for a long time? And I'm going to go ahead and give Breezeway a plug. Breezeway is, Justin works for Breezeway and Justin is the head of international safety within the short-term rental industry. And what I recommend you guys doing and what I have done is you can make this checklist. You can take this whole episode, make it into a checklist. You can do it on BreezeWay, and then you can schedule it out to pop up on your calendar every year. I mean, you can do it with Google Calendar too, but the cool thing about BreezeWay is there's like this checklist that you can like check off, make sure you're doing. And it's just a great, and not only with the deck safety, Justin, we could also do it with the batteries in your smoke detectors and making sure you also did an episode on dryer vent safety. Okay, when's the last time I did it? You've got it in your BreezeWay. You can tell when the last time you did it, right? It helps you because it can feel like a lot. Like you guys, I'm a host. I get it. I manage a lot of properties. It feels overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. You just have to create a system for yourself and help it remind you to keep your place, your guests, your home safe.
Yeah. And you know, what makes, I especially love the listeners on Thanks for Visiting because we have been doing these safety podcasts for about a year and a half now. And a lot of your guests have taken our safety certification and gone through it. And they are always much more prepared, and it's been much easier to safety certify those properties. So I love TFV. I call them the TFV listeners. But you got to do this stuff now. It's complacent not to. You guys always know my favorite quote, complacency is devastating. Don't just go, well, my neighbor didn't do that, so I'm not going to do it. Or no one in town's told me I need to do it. Well, let me tell you, when you have a safety accident at your rental property, from something that's a code violation, the police officer doesn't come out and arrest you. You're not arrested because your deck wasn't to code. It's after that. It's the civil lawsuits that will destroy you. So just because you're not going to get arrested for not doing this stuff doesn't mean that you cannot do it. And everything that we have on our safety certifications are either stuff that's to code or it's stuff that we're seeing come in like crazy. You guys know, because you've had Darren from Proper Insurance on before. We are so fortunate. Proper Insurance is pretty much the only insurance company in the industry that shared statistics with us. They tell us, yeah, hey, our number one claims out there right now are from water damage. And yeah, 83% of our claims at short-term rentals are from trips, slips, and falls. We've built that into our safety checklist so we can help people address that and make sure that they're going to avoid doing the same things that other people have done and not have those happen to them.
If you head to listeners, thanksforvisiting.me/partners, you will see there two links where you can click on for BreezeWay to either try out their platform and or become safety inspector certified as well yourself. And actually, I've done this. It's a really great educational course. Even if you don't plan on inspecting other people's property for safety, I mean, I know like I've got in my head code. So when I'm shopping for a new property, I can always already know, okay, I'm going to have to look at this, this, and that. Or when I'm onboarding a property as a co-host, I'm already, you know, educated on what to look for when it comes to my guests' safety. I'm not an expert. I definitely call the experts in once I even have a question about safety, but it's a great first step. And truly, I think it should be something that we're all required to do, but we're not. So, just take the responsibility to yourself. Head to thanksforvisiting.me/partners and you can look at those two links. It'll lead you to those two great offerings that BreezeWay has.
Awesome. We love helping them.
Yes. Yes. It's a great program, Justin. I know you put a lot of work in putting that together. They're great videos. Justin will walk you through like what to look for, how to, you know, all the code, math, all that kind of good stuff. It's all there. You don't have to memorize it. I can go back and look at, okay, what was that Justin said about the grills? How far does it have to be away from a building? And I can access that information too, which is nice.
So before we close, can I just ask, can we take 1 minute to talk about Annette and I meeting up in Vermont a couple of weeks
ago?
Yeah,
sure. Let's do it.
I want to change gears real quick to fire extinguishers, which we've talked about before, but just real quick, Annette, I put 3 fire extinguishers in your hand and we shot them off. What did you learn?
Number one, I feel much more confident because I've actually used one, but you got to go big or go home. I used to get those little rinky dink ones from Walmart that kind of look like a hairspray bottle. I'm like, oh, these will be nice underneath the sink.
They're cute.
They're cute. They don't take up very much space. Well, they're terrible.
It looked like bug spray come out.
Yeah, it looked like bug spray. It's not going to put out any sort of fire. Justin said this a long time ago when Sarah and all of us were together at a house, like help your guests help you, you know, like equip them with what is going to help them. And so the bigger the fire extinguisher, it's going to last longer. It's going to allow them to be further away from the fire. And, you know, once Justin and I were testing them, I'm like, so many times we like to put these fire extinguishers underneath sinks. No one's going to want to dip down low underneath a sink when there's flames above them. Mm-hmm. You've got to equip them and put the fire extinguisher in a place that would be away from the fire so that they can get it and then help, you know, put out the grease fire on the stove, or if there's something, maybe, you know, a curling iron in the bathroom, something like that. You want to make sure that underneath sinks is really kind of putting us all at a disadvantage, because you're going to be putting yourself in harm's way. But yeah, the bigger the fire extinguisher, just spend the extra money, get the little bit larger one, and it's going to help your guest put out something and make sure that it's actually putting something out. Because the smaller ones were worthless. I don't even think they would have done anything.
No, we did it real quick in this video. I'm sure you guys have a link to it on your website. But, you know, real quick, it was the 5-pounder that shot 20 feet. Mm-hmm. And that's the one you wanted. 5 pounds isn't much. That little one that says kitchen on it, we got 7 feet out of it, and the bug spray maybe 6 feet. So right. It was, and we're talking about the little aerosol fire extinguisher can that looks like a paint sprayer.
Yeah.
So,
and we'll link to that so you can see that in the show notes. But yeah, if you're making a lot of money this summer because you're booked solid, let's replace those fire extinguishers and get the 5-pounders in there for sure.
We had a lot of fun in Vermont, and we've got some cool safety stuff coming out from that we'll keep sharing going forward.
Awesome.
Yay. Well, we'll have you back, Justin. This will certainly not be the last thing or last topic we can talk about, but we really thank you for your time and your dedication to safety. I don't know that anyone else is doing this, so we're really lucky to have you and all the hard work you put into this. As scary as these episodes are, we always get emails like, oh my God, the episode is terrified. But you know what? We're not here to it's not all puppy dogs and rainbows. You know what I mean? Like, it's a huge responsibility sharing your home. And just got to take it seriously. I mean, like Justin said, these are things you can do. You just got to do them.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, all right, we appreciate
Justin,
you.
We all appreciate right. You.
I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.